what we believe about the Bible is based on what we believe about its source.
The God Who Speaks, the award-winning documentary from the American Family Association, is now available in a special limited edition DVD set. This release includes a Sunday school curriculum and 2 hours of additional footage. Go to thegodwhospeaks.org to get your copy today. thegodwhospeaks.org. Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, and I'm sitting across the table from my good friend, Dr. Chris Schroeder. And Dr. Schroeder is a frequent guest on Real Truth for Today. Dr. Chris, welcome to the program.
Good to be here. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's always a joy, and I always appreciate your insights on things. And so we have a program that we started toward the end of the summer called Strong Foundations. It's for young husbands and dads, young guys that want to walk with the Lord and want to learn how to do this thing called manhood, but want to be good husbands and good dads, and they're right in the thick of it. And so we want to invest in those guys. And so we meet every Thursday morning at 6:15, have breakfast together and have a Bible study together, and then just time around the tables to pray. And so I taught this morning, and we rotate it. Different guys on our staff teach it. I taught this morning, and I taught on this subject, Houston, We Have a Problem. Now, some of you may remember that was a famous line from the 1995 movie by Ronnie Howard called Apollo 13, the story of the astronauts trying to get back. They were on their April 1970 mission, and 3 days into the mission to go to the moon, they had a terrible problem with a routine tank stirring. There was a short, electrical short, and some things blew up, and it was hard, very hard for them to get back. And it was a thrilling story of them getting back home to their families, of getting back home to Earth without burning up on reentry. And so the famous line from Tom Hanks, when the stirring of the tanks and the explosion and all, he says, "Houston, we have a problem."
And he says it all calm and collected.
Yeah, he's just kind of, he's an astronaut, he's an engineer, he's a gearhead.
Yeah, no emotion in it.
All those astronauts are gearheads.
Yeah.
You know, you have to be. But here's the quote that we kind of built that "Houston, we have a problem" on. It had to do with men, and this is from one of Chris's, Chris, could we say mentors or somebody that was maybe somebody you studied?
He's almost like a guy who mentored my mentors.
The mentor of the mentors.
Yeah, like this guy, Larry Crabb.
Yeah.
He's a Christian psychologist. He would call himself a biblical counselor.
Okay.
I mean, he has degrees in psychology, but he's done a lot of books about the Bible, biblically based books.
Mm-hmm.
He's written a ton of books, mainly to the church, you know,
yeah,
to the church body. He's been a great gift to the church body. He passed away either a year or two ago, and so anybody in Christian counseling would know who Larry Crabb is.
Well, this is what Larry Crabb had to say, and he's been dead now for several years. "Men are easily threatened, and whenever a man is threatened, when he becomes uncomfortable in places within himself that he does not understand, he naturally retreats into an arena of comfort or competence, or he dominates someone or something in order to feel powerful. Men refuse to feel the paralyzing and humbling horror of uncertainty, a horror that could drive them to trust, a horror that could release in them the power to deeply give themselves in relationship. As a result," now here's the thing, "as a result, most men feel close to no one, especially not to God, and no one feels close to them. Something good in men is stopped and needs to get moving. When good movement stops, bad movement, retreat or domination, reliably develops." Well, that is quite a paragraph from Larry Crabb. And so we talked about that this morning, and we talked about, hey, you know, one of the questions I asked for table time was, do you agree with the Larry Crabb quote, most men feel close to no one, especially not to God, and no one feels close to him or to them. Now, Chris, you've spent a lot of time in the counseling office with men and couples and, you know, issues ranging from pornography to infidelity to poor communication to problems with stepkids or blended family, all sorts of issues. And you've seen guys at their best and at their worst. So would you say you agree with Larry Crabb's assessment of men?
Yeah, unfortunately, I think there's a lot of truth to what Dr. Crabb is saying. Men do have a tendency to isolate. Men have a tendency to not have as close of relationships, especially in comparison to women. Mm-hmm. Men struggle with having relationship. Maybe they put achievement or success or, you know, pleasures ahead of the importance of relationships. Mm-hmm. And a lot of men, you know, one of the biggest issues that men struggle with would be the issue of addiction to pornography. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes in that situation, I will ask the guy to have someone who's going to be an accountability to them that's going to help them in this deal with this issue. Mm-hmm. And so I asked them, is there someone in your life, like a friend that could be an accountability, not a family member, but a male friend, mm-hmm. that could be your accountability? And you would be surprised, Pastor Jeff, at how many times they can't name anyone. Mm-hmm. And sometimes guys will even say, well, I'm really close to my wife. You know, my wife could be my accountability. And they're serious. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, no, your wife can't be your accountability. That's not fair to her. That's right. Not a good situation. It needs to be a fellow friend, a guy. And there's a lot of guys that don't have close mm-hmm. relationships at all.
Yeah. Well, I had talked about how guys tend to make friends in high school, uh-huh. middle school, high school, especially playing sports. Uh-huh. You know, if you didn't play sports, you had to be involved in something in school to have a community. Mm-hmm. So if you don't play sports, if you're not in the band, if you're not in theater arts or whatever, then it's like, well, you got to be in some kind of club.
Boy Scouts.
Yes. Well, something. It's got to be something. Because if you just go to school and come home, you don't have community and you're going to be a real loner and you're going to get yourself in trouble because God didn't make us to be alone.
Yeah, I agree with that assessment. I think it has to do with men are activity driven. So we're more shoulder to shoulder. Women are more eyeball to eyeball. So they use more words throughout a day. They connect, you know, with emotionally with their words. They have a lot more body language, expression, because they're communicating for rapport, where we're communicating just to report facts. And so shoulder-to-shoulder, activity-driven, that's what sports, that's why we connect with sports, especially team sports when we're younger. I was even thinking about like military. You hear people that go in the military and maybe even into battle, and they have those really strong connections. Mm-hmm. So it's not like sitting at Starbucks having coffee together. It's doing activities or fishing, you know, but it's that shoulder-to-shoulder activity. Mm-hmm. So you and I can go on a trip and do some sort of activity, and we're focused on the activity. We're not focused on our conversation with one another, mm-hmm. where women, when they go together, they're more about the talk.
Well, I think it was James Dobson that said this once. This was years ago. And he said that they did a study of families, successful families, and they found that one of the key ingredients for a successful family was one activity they did together.
Yes.
Camping.
Yes.
And they said this, because camping was shared conflict. Hmm. And so, you know, because you go on a camping trip and invariably something's going to go wrong.
Oh, yeah.
And so you all experience the wrong.
Did you
together.
See my family or something like that? Are you? Yeah.
And so I think about that with like bonding with the guys in my middle school and high school playing basketball. So we have a shared conflict, that combat, so to speak, on the basketball
court.
Going
against an opponent.
Right. We're on the team. They're on the other team. And so there's guys like that. There's something about, you know, it's kind of we're in the foxhole together.
Yeah.
And that bonds us in the foxhole.
Yeah. You're talking about man to man. You know, man with man connecting. But in marriage, you know, we say the number one thing that a man needs is shared activity. Mm-hmm. So oftentimes ask the couple, what is your shared activity? What is it that you do together that's fun? And for him, yeah, like going and having coffee together and eyeball to eyeball, having these deep conversations.
It's just torture.
That's torture. And one of the best ways, if you're able, physically able, husband and wife, is a walk.
Mm-hmm.
That like is going to please both of you because it's activity. You're not
right.
just sitting.
Right.
You're moving. You're shoulder to shoulder, but you're also communicating like what she wants. But yeah, shared activity is huge for, that's why, you know, you play golf, I play tennis, having that physical activity, and we have relationships through that, but it's centered on something, some kind of movement, physical movement.
Well, we were talking to Chris about how when a man loses his wife, and he gets, you know, he loses his wife after 30, 40 years or whatever, then he's older now, he can be totally lost. If he doesn't have a church community, he's got nothing.
Yeah, we talk about how we know men in our church that have lost their wives, and it's like without the church, who would they have? You know, mm-hmm. they have children and grandchildren, but they're all busy with their lives,
right.
You know, their own activities and stuff. So, I mean, we thank God for His bride, the church, and the community that creates for people.
Yeah, and it's I told the group today, I said, you know, my dad, he had friends from work, but work friends tend not to be, they're associates.
Mm-hmm.
And you might, you know, pal around with them at work, but then if they take another job, you tend to lose connection with that person because mm-hmm. they were work friends.
Mm-hmm.
And a real friend is somebody that's through thick and thin, they're there, and you're not just sharing work stuff, you're sharing your life. But
well, kind of those weekend warrior friends, the
right.
ones that like Monday, not Monday through Friday, but you're looking forward to Friday to do something fun with a guy.
Right. Yeah, whether it's hunting and fishing or whatever. I talked to a friend of mine last night, and he said, yeah, every January I go with the same group of guys, and we go hunting at this guy's hunting lease, and I look forward to that. It's just a fun time. And they've been doing it for decades.
Yeah.
So it's just like lifelong friends there. But, you know, I think about this quote, Chris, from Henry David Thoreau, "The mass of men lead lives of quiet desperation. What is called resignation is confirmed desperation." And that's the mass of men. I think that's true.
Uh-huh.
You know, when you think about not just in Christian men, but just men in general.
Yeah.
And Christians can fall into that same category, whereas Christian women and a wife that loses her husband, just like in our church, we have the Golden Circle Sunday School class that's filled with women. Some of them are still married, but their husbands, you know, they want to be in the female class, and they get a lot of strength from the other ladies. Men tend not to do that.
Yeah, and I mean, we started out this show talking about, you know, a lot of the gender differences and why how men are wired psychologically. But spiritually, you know, we go back to Genesis 1, and we're created in the image of God. So we were created to be relational. You know, it's not good for the man to be alone.
Right.
And so God is relational. We see that, like you were talking about earlier, about in the Trinity, we see that God is relational, and in His desire to create us and say it is very good when He created humans. And so Him being relational, we're created in His image. We're created to be relational. So it is very sad that so many men have isolated and don't have relationship. And that's not the way that God has designed us to live.
Well, I think about, you know, even with our spouses, a man doesn't like to be vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've said this before, Chris, that, you know, if you're going to get close to God, you have to get vulnerable. You have to be honest. You have to let down the curtain, so to speak, and say, well, God, this is who I am on the inside. Yeah, the Lord knows that, but we have a tendency to not want to show Him that because we're ashamed of our failures and sins and inconsistencies. We don't like to show that to our wives.
Yeah, I was thinking about, you just kind of answered it, but I was thinking about the why when you were reading that, the full quote from Larry Crabb, why we isolate and what it is. I think it is a fear. I mean, yeah, there could be shame involved,
mm-hmm.
Fear of someone knowing us too much. There's a saying in counseling, you know, fight or flight.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, that fight would be, Larry Crabb talks about the end of the quote, the control, you know, fighting mm-hmm. to control things. Or the flight would be passivity. A lot of men fall into passivity where they just back down and they stop trying to relate and expose themselves.
Right. I had a guy tell me one time, he said, Jeff, if you really knew me, you wouldn't like me.
Right.
And he was so afraid of that. And I said to this guy, I said, listen, You know, we all struggle with stuff. So whatever you're struggling with, I'll still like you. I'll be here for you. I want to help you. And he had a hard time believing that.
Yeah.
So it is difficult.
You actually end up respecting the guy more when he shares.
Right. Yeah, you really do. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here along with my good friend, Dr. Chris Schroeder. We're talking about this subject, Houston, we have a problem. We're talking about the problem that men have not connecting well to God and then to other men and building those lasting, real, authentic relationships. We'll be right back.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. We're talking about this subject, Houston, we have a problem. That's that famous line from Apollo 13. I'm talking to my good friend, Dr. Chris Schroeder, and we're talking about the issue related to men and how, as Larry Crabb pointed out, men are easily threatened. And whenever a man is threatened, when he becomes uncomfortable in places within himself that he does not understand, he naturally retreats into an arena of comfort or competence, or he dominates someone or something in order to feel powerful. So, Chris, we were talking during the break about men are easily threatened. And I asked you, I said, what do you think he means by that?
I think we, as men, we naturally have that pride and that competitive spirit, and we kind of measure ourselves against other men. And so that comparison trap that we may fall into. And so even pastors are like talking to other pastors. And mm-hmm. So how's your church doing? What are you running? You know,
right.
How's the income? You know, right.
Pastors can be the worst.
Yeah. So it's
very insecure or they can be very jealous.
Mm-hmm. So we're like measuring ourselves with other men's success, other men's their wife, their family, their careers, the success of the car they're driving, whatever it is. So men have a tendency maybe to compare. We compare ourselves with others.
You think that's just the competitive nature of a guy?
Well, I know that my greatest sin is pride. Mm-hmm. You know, pride, I think, is the greatest sin that most men struggle with, or a mm-hmm. lot of men struggle with. And so I think it's a sin issue. It's a pride issue, mm-hmm. you know. And then the control that Dr. Crabb is talking about, it's like, I don't want to talk about that subject that you're better in, you're more competent in. So I'm going to control I'm going to dictate what we talk about, and I'm going to move it over to the areas that I'm comfortable with. Because mm-hmm. I don't want to be exposed. Dr. Crabb said exposed. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be exposed, so I'm going to control and I'm going to dominate so that I'm pulling the strings and not you.
Yeah, I had mentioned to you how I got to meet some famous athletes some years ago. I had a friend of mine that knew a lot of the Houston Rockets, and he would introduce me to different ones. And I remember him telling me this. He said, listen, when you meet this guy, don't ask him about another player, because they're very sensitive to that. So if you're a guy that's maybe the third best player on the team, well, that's, you're a big dog, but you're not the biggest dog.
Right.
So if you ask you get to meet the third best player of the team, and all you have to do is ask him about the first best player of the team, he doesn't want to talk to you.
Yeah, which is interesting, because that pride, it's pride. But then that pride actually drives them to greatness. That pride drives them to success in their field, like in this case in athletics. Mm-hmm. It makes them who they are. Like Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, they were pretty vicious with their teammates and just the way that they interacted with people. And so that's actually driving them to success in their field, but it's not a great attribute, mm-hmm. you know, a godly attribute.
Yeah. You know, insecurity is a huge one too, Chris, that could cause men to back off from certain subjects uh-huh. and changing the subject. And you're hitting on I remember Gary Smalley was talking about core fears.
Uh-huh.
And he said, you know, when you're in a conversation with somebody, if somebody starts to touch on your core fear,
yeah.
your insecurity in whatever area it is, you can start to freak out. Anger can start to show up. Uh-huh. And it really goes back to you're afraid.
Right.
And you're afraid about being exposed.
Yeah.
And I don't want
that hot topic.
Yeah. I don't want people to really know. Go back to my friend Bruce. If you really knew me, you wouldn't like me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got to make sure you don't really know me.
Mm-hmm. And so therefore, you keep people at a distance.
Right.
And you had brought up, you used the word a little while ago, you used the word shame.
Uh-huh.
And so a lot of men have shame because of the maybe the things that they're participating in outside of the church, you know, in their
right.
private life,
right.
maybe pornography. They call it the hidden killer in the church or the silent killer in the church.
Right.
Because it fills men with shame because they know it's wrong. It's done in the dark. And so when they're in the light, they're passive because that shame is just eating them alive.
Right.
And so then they're not participating in the life of the church. They're not using the gifts that God's given them because Satan has just filled them with shame
right.
because of their actions. So they isolate and they move away from participation in what God's doing.
Right. Well, then, as Larry Crabb says, most men feel close to no one, especially to God, and no one feels close to them. So if you isolate... if you feel like, well, I'm damaged goods, God couldn't love me. I mean, you believe the lie of the devil that, you know, God doesn't love you. You're second class at best
yeah.
because of this sin, or you're just not as good as somebody else. And Chris, you know, you think about, take a guy whose wife goes to church, his wife is more spiritual than he is. She gets him to start coming, but he never feels like I'm really... you know, at the top of my game here with these other guys. I don't measure up. They know the Bible a lot better than I do. He didn't want to say anything
yeah.
because he feels like I don't want to open my mouth and say something stupid. Or if he does open his mouth and says something stupid and somebody laughs at him,
mm-hmm.
That's like the worst.
And okay, so this is a whole other subject too, is with the church. I mean, a lot of times the church is more oriented naturally towards women. You know, more relationship oriented and opening up and sharing and stuff. And so men being more activity driven, mm-hmm. that's why, you know, having a softball team, I always played softball and church softball teams,
mm-hmm.
Having an open gym, those things are so important because
right.
You know, some men really like to sing or participate,
right.
but a lot of men don't.
Right.
And a lot more women do like those things, like opening up in small groups. Those things are more challenging for men. Not an excuse, mm-hmm. but really that's just some truth there. So I think one of your strengths as a pastor is you talk like a normal guy.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't talked much about that, but I see that in you. Like, you just talk like a normal guy would talk. And so you don't talk like pastor language
right.
or like, look, you know, this is what a pastor is supposed to look and sound like.
Right.
You're just like the average guy talking.
Yeah.
And that's attractive to people, men and women, I think.
Right.
And so, So just the way that church orientates itself
yeah.
more towards women than men.
Well, I think we need to be, so we have Renee,
uh-huh.
who got saved, what, a month ago,
yeah,
just got baptized. He's been coming to stuff. He came last night. We had our Q&A. We do a Q&A periodically where it's just ask me anything. And so questions from the floor, or they email in questions. And he had a great question from the floor. It might have been a...
basic.
It was a basic question, but it's a question that's like, hey, you're using this term shine and share. Well, he knew what share was, but what is shine?
Yeah.
And it was a great...
Like Christianese, like a word that
right.
if you've grown up in the church, you know exactly what that means. But he hasn't grown up in the church.
Right.
So he didn't even know what that meant.
And it was just a great question. And it was a great opportunity to just say, hey, this guy, he's coming to everything. I mean...
Soaking it up.
Like yeah. And it was just, you know, everybody cheered at that.
Yeah.
Because it's like, this is cool. This
yeah.
is what it's about. And so, you know, in the hospital, church is a hospital for sick people. And there's only one place in the hospital where it's exciting, and that's the L&D, labor
right.
and delivery.
Right.
That's new life coming in. And so in a church, if you don't see people come into Christ, that church can get very inwardly focused. And you can just say, oh, we're just all about discipleship. But it's like a big part of discipleship is reproduction.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's what gives excitement to the church is seeing new people born into the church.
I was telling you, like with the Q&A, we had some people that ask questions that are so deep and profound that just kind of obscure things and found deep in the Old Testament that really isn't going to impact your life in any way.
Mm-hmm.
But then there was like a young lady who's a young mother, and she had a question about her 8-year-old child who's thinking about was talking about baptism and what it means to be baptized. It was a real serious question and something she's dealing with her husband and how to walk through that. This is like a life-changing decision,
right.
You know, and this is where she's at in her life. And how does the truth of God help me in this situation?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's important. So I had a guy come talk to me this week that had an issue about divorce, remarriage, and divorce and remarriage, and wanted to know, and he just was kind of in a quandary and really struggling. He's reading all this stuff. You know, you can get people telling you, hey, once you're divorced, that's it. There's nothing else. And others say there's free to remarry or whatever. But he was really struggling. And after we met for about an hour and a half, hour and 15 minutes, he said, you know, this really helped me.
That's good.
And because he had, it's exactly what you said. He didn't have a theological question of, you know, hey, check the box. Now I know the who the Nephilim are.
Right.
That doesn't change anybody's life, although we'd all like to know about the Nephilim. But he had something that was a real life issue.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not something you would ask in a big group. You'd ask behind closed doors. But he's another one of those guys. Who do I talk to about this?
Mm-hmm.
And guys don't have, sadly, they don't have a lot of close friends that they can talk to. And close friends that are godly friends that can give them godly counsel. You might have a good friend that's an unbeliever. He's not going to give you godly counsel. He doesn't know.
Well, I mean, you're kind of hitting on an issue, you know, that Larry Crabb brings up in the quote. Is just, it takes courage. It takes risk. It takes overcoming the fear to choose to open up and to choose not to isolate.
Right.
So men have to make that choice. You know, we're talking about our Strong Foundations group, these young men coming. So they make that choice to come early on Thursday morning. And then when they're sitting around the tables, they make a choice to open up. And one of the things we've discovered is the younger men, as you know, in general, as compared to the older men at the Man Up, the other hour, the younger men are much more open and honest with their struggles. We've had men just, I'm struggling with pornography, and they just share it. And I'm like, whoa, I can't believe they're just sharing that in this group. But I gain respect when they open up and share like that. And so that's a good sign that we see younger men more willing to be vulnerable and open up.
Well, I think, you know, we talk about like the World War II generation and the guys that went through really hard times. Well, they didn't ever talk about that stuff. The Vietnam guys didn't talk about it. They shut that off. And as a result, it's like, well, you have a lot of pain there. You're just kind of locking that in to this room. But that's not going away.
Right.
You're burying toxic waste. You got to talk to somebody about that stuff and the terrible things you experienced.
I mean, the bottom line, you know, we say in recovery that we know that someone is heading towards relapse when they begin to isolate. And so the bottom line is we can't isolate as men, people in general. But I've been thinking about, as we've been talking, I've been thinking about that book that Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote, We Need Each Other. You know, we really do need each other. We're created to be in community. That's why God created the church. You know, most of the Bible is corporate more than individual. And so we really need to rely on each other.
Yeah, very, very important. Well, we've called this program Houston, We Have a Problem. And we do have a problem in the world today with men, and especially in the church, you know, and we want church to be a safe place for people to come and to be able to share their struggles. Church is a hospital for hurting people. It's not a place that you have to have everything put together to come. You come with a broken life, and you come before the Lord and say, Lord, my life is all messed up and broken. You know, there was an old song that says, give them all, give them all, give them all to Jesus. Your shattered dreams, your broken toys, your ruined hearts, or however it worded it. But you do. You bring, and he brings your sorrow. He will turn your sorrow into joy. But I have to bring him the parts.
Yeah. And we go to the hospital to because we want to be well, just like the man on the mat in John 5. Jesus asked, do you want to be well? And so we're going to the church as a hospital to get the healing that we need, even the heart surgery that we need, so that we can live the life that God created us to live. We're not coming here to die. We're coming here to be healed, to live.
Well, and we tell, I tell this with new believers often, hey, there is no dumb question. You know, if you have a question, ask it.
And, you know, I told you, I think, at the table this morning when I was in a Bible study class, I hadn't been a Christian very long. They were talking about the children of Israel trying to get in the promised land. And I was listening on the edge of my seat. And I went up to the guys like, hey, did they ever get in there? You know, because, yeah, I didn't know. I mean, it's like, well, yeah, Israel is a place. You know, they did get in there. But it was an honest question. And lots of new believers, they have no idea.
Well, as a,
they're just learning.
Well, as a pastor in the church, those questions are exciting. I love when people ask questions like that because they're hungry, they're excited, it's fresh to them, it's new to them, and they really want to know. They have an excitement, and they're like a sponge just wanting to soak in whatever you're teaching.
Right.
And that's exciting. It's much better than stagnant people that feel like they have all the answers or feel like they've arrived.
Well, we desperately need for people to engage, for guys to engage. We want to have, for our church, First Baptist Texarkana, we want to have a lot of hooks in the water for fishing. We talked about fishing yesterday, Chris, about how's the fishing, because God has called us to be fishers of men, and he empowers us. You know, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. So we're not on our own doing this. We do it in the power of the Holy Spirit. But we do want to reach people for Christ, and it seems like it may be in some instances easier to reach women than it is to reach men.
Yeah.
Because as you said, women are naturally wanting to have that relationship, and men need the relationship, but they're more walls may be built up.
Well, there. You brought up a good word. You used the word engage. Engagement's a good word. So we don't want men just spectators. We don't want men just coming to church to spectate. And I don't think men want to spectate. Mm-hmm. They want to be engaged. They want to participate and have strong engagement in the life of the church. And so that's what we have to make available to men as a church.
Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, and across the table from me is my good friend, Dr. Chris Schroeder. And we're talking about that issue of men. Houston, we have a problem because we don't want men to isolate. Most men feel close to no one, especially not to God, and no one feels close to them, says Dr. Larry Crabb, Christian psychologist. Well, when we come back from the break, we're going to be taking your calls and fielding your questions. The number to call is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you do have a comment or a question, we would love to hear from you. Maybe you have a brief testimony that could really help somebody else. So give me a call and let's talk. You've heard a lot about saving babies on this show. That's because it's important to me personally. And let me just be frank with you. We need to save them. That's why we've partnered with Preborn, the nation's leader in introducing mothers with unplanned pregnancies to their babies. And once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life growing inside of her, she is twice as likely to choose life. Now that's a miracle. But quite honestly, if we don't save them, who will? Preborn receives no government funding, so their work is completely dependent on you and me. Preborn has rescued over 280,000 babies. And that's not all. They provide love, support, and counseling for up to 2 years for free, saving lives and souls. One ultrasound is just $28, or 140 helps rescue 5 babies' lives. Abortion doesn't stop, so we can't either. Together, you and I can save lives. Just call #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's 250 baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email pastorjeff@fromhisheart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here, along with my friend Dr. Chris Schroeder, and we've been talking about the issue that men face. We've called this program Houston, We Have a Problem. And here's the quote that we've been dissecting from Dr. Larry Crabb. Most men feel close to no one, especially not to God, and no one feels close to them. And men have a real tendency to isolate and to just retreat
into themselves, and that's not a good place. You know, no man is an island, as the old expression says, and it's not good from the Lord that a man should be alone. That's what he said about Adam. And what makes that earth-shattering is you read it is good, it is good, it is good. Day one is good. God saw that it is good. And now all of a sudden he says it's not good.
Yeah.
Uh-oh, what's not good? It's not good for a man to be alone. I'll make a helper suitable to him. And God didn't, he didn't make him a buddy.
Right.
He made him a wife.
Yeah, created from him.
Right.
Woman created from him.
Right. But, and Adam, let's face it, Adam didn't have any peers.
Mm-hmm.
Strange. He had a lot of children and grandchildren and great-grands and lived to be 930. Great-great-great-great-grands. I mean, a lot of sons and daughters and relatives, but no peers.
Yeah, that is so strange. It's such a weird concept. Yeah,
it is hard to imagine. But we do have peers, and we have, you know, Chris, as the expression goes, you know, every man needs a mentor, a Paul, and you need a buddy. You need somebody that's your stage in life, and then you need somebody to pour into.
Well, that brings up an interesting point. You know, a lot of times in church, we try to have groups that are specific to that specific age group, which is good because you're going through the same life issues together. But you got to be careful that that's not all that you do, because the younger learn from the older, mm-hmm. and then the older are energized by pouring into the younger. And so that's another beauty about church. Mm-hmm. But, you know, with church programs and the church growth movement, we became so much about, you know, compartmentalizing all these different kinds of ministries and being so needs-based ministry. And the danger of that, and I think studies have shown that, Barna's research has shown that it's hurt discipleship, mm-hmm. because you learn from people that are, so to speak, stronger and faster than you are, that are further along down the road, you are.
That's exactly right. Well, we're going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840. And so we would love to hear from you if you have a question, a comment, or brief testimony. We've been talking about this issue of men connecting with other men and developing those relationships that are so important. Obviously, the most important relationship is our relationship with God. But Jesus said the most important commandment is to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second greatest commandment is to love your neighbor as yourself, to have those horizontal relationships. So we have Mike on the line from Mississippi. Mike, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hey, I really enjoy your show. I listen to you every morning.
Thank you, Mike.
And in the evening, too. You own it 6 o'clock or something like that.
Yes, sir.
My wife, after 55 years of marriage, my wife passed away a year ago this month. And, well, the Lord, you stay in the Word, and you take one day at a time, and you trust Him and read His Word, and you make it that way. You're right. Most of us guys, my two closest friends, one lives in Pennsylvania, and the one's a minister in Texas, where I graduated from college. And other than that, I don't have anyone here in the Metro Jackson area that's a close friend that's a man. Mm-hmm. So you just have to trust the Lord and feed my dogs.
Yeah.
You're right on. What you're saying. Yes, sir.
Yeah. Mike, are you active in a church, in a local church?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've been at my church since 75, First Prayers in Jackson.
Uh-huh.
And, I'm real active in my church. And amazingly, in my Sunday school class, there's 65 to 85 every Sunday in my class. Five of us men in the last 3 years, wives have passed away, mm-hmm. in my Sunday school class alone.
Mm. Yeah, that's a lot. Well, I appreciate you calling in, Mike. I appreciate you listening to the program. I appreciate you sharing that. And, you know, you're doing the right things for sure, and you're pressing in, and you're not isolating. And so we applaud you for that. But after being married for 55 years and losing your sweetheart, man, that's tough.
Oh, it's tough. And then 4 years ago, my son passed away. He was 47. So,
oh wow.
Sometimes it's in the gut. He was deputy sheriff here in the metro area. But I have my daughter and I have my grandkids. and my dog. So the Lord blesses me every day.
Yeah, you know, Mike, I was never a dog person until some years ago, and dogs are, I have a friend of mine, he's in heaven now, Dr. Shields, and he said he believes that God made dogs to teach man about his unconditional love. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a lot of truth in that.
Oh, definitely. They eat me up when I come home from work. I'm 59, but I still work. I can't stand to be around the house.
Yeah. Well, that's good. That's good. Well, thanks for calling in, my friend, and God bless you, and may the Lord bless your Christmas with your family.
Yeah, and bless you. I really enjoy your program. It's fantastic. Keep it up.
Thank you, brother. Thank you, brother. I appreciate that. Well, we have Deb on the line from Texas. Deb, welcome to Real Truth for today.
Well, hi, Jeff. Hi, Pastor Jeff.
Hi.
I love your show. I love your wife. She's fabulous.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yesterday, was she on yesterday? I didn't
know. No, she wasn't able to come on. She hadn't been on in a couple of weeks.
Well, she's probably getting busy for all the holidays. Anyways, I want to get straight to it so everybody else can call in. I've been really learning a lot about these issues, and I want to help. I'm a widow of almost 12 years, and I have two sons. And one grandson who's 26 years old. So it really is a near and dear subject to my heart that I've prayed over. And as a widow, I need to guide my sons, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so the Lord said, it's out of order. When things start happening, men's pride, you know, all these little issues, and then the other thing that men don't like to speak about, It's a power issue, but it's an out-of-order issue. So the Lord said, just say, go to Genesis 1. And say, in the beginning, in the first place, God put all things in order. And whenever we get things out of order, the enemy gets in there, in the crack. Wherever we are out of order, it's almost like it's a magnet for all kinds of contention, strife, other little dark works and things like that that will destroy people, destroy men and women.
Mm-hmm.
And my heart just goes out to men with these problems of that pride, is it worth it? He's God and we're not. That's simple. So if mm-hmm. we keep things in order, it's order. The Lord just said order.
Yeah.
It's order. And if it's out of order, it's dysfunctional. And the enemy gives a field day.
Yeah.
And the longer it's silent, the worse it gets.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's why the Bible says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's the beginning of knowledge.
That's
recognizing
right.
that God is God and you're not God, and we're accountable to God. And God has all that we need as we as we seek Him. He will meet our needs.
And the relationship can be developed there, too. Because mm-hmm. in the beginning, God, there, go back to God. He's your intimate relationship, more than
right.
yourself.
Right.
You can be your own worst enemy, if you don't perfect. Have God in an intimate relationship with the Father God.
Yeah.
Through Jesus Christ, of course.
That's a good word, Deb.
That is.
Well, thank you so much.
God bless you, and Merry Christmas.
Yeah, Merry Christmas to you.
You all.
Thank you. God bless you. I appreciate that. We have Ron on the line from Tennessee. Ron, welcome to Real Truth for today.
Good morning.
Morning.
I like the advocacy for mentors. I think it's a lost art that kind of took a hiccup in the 70s through the 90s, but slowly but surely we're getting back to that. It might take a good 25 to 30 years before you're able to transition from being a deacon to an elder to a mentor. To be an elder, the type of elder, not the wrong type, the wishy-washy, the one that just says okay just to get along, and then suddenly your young guy that you're set over to guide, then he's gone astray, and it's like, oh well, that's the way he chose. No, this whole nation better sit up and beg for the right accountability, the right kind of leadership, the right kind of eldership, that and it takes structure to instruct that elder on how to be the right mentor. Don't you agree?
Yeah. We all have to grow up. We have to mature in the Lord. So the goal is we speak the truth in love in order to grow so that we can become all that God wants us to be. And as we grow in the Lord, then we're able to take others along with us in that process. And so we had talked about you need a mentor, you need a peer, and you need somebody to pour your life into. All three of those relationships are important. And so if we don't have those, if we're broken down in one of those areas, maybe you have a mentor, maybe you have a peer, but you're not passing that along, and you need that. And we're constantly growing. You never, Chris, hit the place where it's like, well, I've grown all I can possibly grow. I've arrived. Christian life is not a destination. It's a journey.
Yeah, we never arrive. We're in the sanctifying process. I think maybe the problem, what Ron is saying about the lack of mentorship, is maybe it's just a self-absorbed kind of,
right?
You know, we just become so focused on ourself, and Ron's emphasis on the need for mentors would mean you have to get outside of yourself and look to the next generation and who you could be pouring into instead of, you know, what's in it for me, but who can I pour into?
You know, and it's true. Some of my mentors were not necessarily people that I knew real well. I mean, Adrian Rogers, listening to his sermons, he became a mentor. Mm-hmm. I met him on a few occasions, but it's not like he was my pal. And so some of these people, you know, I mean, the Apostle Paul, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is a mentor to Christians, yeah. You know, as his writings resonate in our hearts.
So. Well, we've kind of moved away from just needing just this one mentor for all of your life, but you can have mentors in different areas of your life.
Right.
But the bottom line is looking up to older men older than you that have been doing it longer than you, have more experiences than you do. But then also from the mentor side, using your experiences, so being vulnerable and open with the experiences that you've had to pour into the younger generation. Mm-hmm. That's huge. And I know young men desire that from older men.
Yeah. Yeah. And older pastors, I'm thinking about my friend, Dr. John Bassanio, who's with the Lord now, but he was so available to younger pastors. When he retired from First Baptist Houston, he wanted to be a blessing to younger guys and pour into those younger guys. And he made a huge impact on the next generation. We have time for one more call, and we have Chris on the line from Virginia. Chris, welcome to Real Truth for today.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Yes, sir.
Just listening to the conversation, I'm part of a growing men's ministry that's around the United States, and it's actually, there's a couple other countries. It's called Men's Alliance, and our mission statement is to sharpen men to become the husbands, fathers, and leaders God designed them to be. And our mission verse is 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, one man sharpens the other. So what we do is we gather weekly around a fire for a 30-minute workout. And, you know, for men, that's the icebreaker. But then more importantly, afterwards, we have a 30-minute devotion that we take turns leading each week. And there's people from 13 to 80 there, and the bonding that happens is remarkable. It takes you out of isolation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. That's good. How many guys come, Chris?
It depends on the different tribes. Like the one that I go to, there's 12, but there's other ones that could be as many as 30. Mm-hmm. If people want information, it's mensalliancetribe.com. Mm-hmm. But I can tell you, like, for myself, I'm a retired prison lieutenant, I'm a retired military, and you form bonds while you're working. I have none of those people that I've ever been with that I have contact with, but now I have people that I can call in times of trouble and in times of joy, men that I know will be there for me and help sharpen me to be a better person.
Yeah, oh, that's great, and every man needs that. Because we benefit so much from that. Well, I appreciate you sharing that, Chris. I appreciate you calling in. And God bless you, my brother. Chris, anything to share about that or comment on that?
Yeah, let's just pray for our men. Let's pray for men in our country, in our communities, in our churches to really rise up. And that would bring great revival to the church.
Yeah, amen. Well, why don't you do that? We have about 30 seconds. Why don't you pray?
Father, we just lift men to you, God. We pray that men would rise up and take the place that you designed for them to be in. God, we love you. Thank you for this day. Amen.
Amen. Well, that's my friend and co-worker, Dr. Chris Schroeder. Chris, thanks for being my guest today. We've been talking about Houston, We Have a Problem, how to engage men in the church and help men connect with other men so we're not isolated and siloing in life. God didn't create us to do that. Hey, go out today, shine for Christ. That means your life, how you live your life, pleasing to the Lord, and share what great things the Lord has done for you, and God will use you as His witness. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.